pray, we are a Muslim, and if we quit the prayers, then basically we step into the domain of kufr. So this is and some of the ahadiths we find that the Prophet has used the word shirk. So if we don't pray, it would be a shirk. So maybe a person claims by his tongue that, well, I read that kalima, I bear the witness, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, for instance. Of course, everybody who prays bears the witness. No doubt about that. But he still is kafir. He still will be mushrik if he quits the prayers, despite the fact he may be bearing the witness that, well, I bear witness that there is no God but one. So basically, despite the fact that in your belief you may bear the witness that I believe in the oneness of Allah, but if in the practical laws of your life, this second segment, you know, the practical laws of your life, if you don't pray, then even your lip service of shahadat about and witness about Allah is not accepted. This is a very important alarm bell for every Muslim to realize that intentional negligence towards prayers will take us out of the limits of Islam. And now that we are talking about the intentional negligence, we should also realize that not just negligence in terms of not praying. This hadith, in the light of this hadith, we understand the Prophet has said, man taraka, who leaves, somebody who quits the prayer, he leaves the prayer, he doesn't pray. So this is one thing, that somebody stops the prayer, stops praying. But apart from that, even if we are praying, but if we have istighfar, the salat, we consider the salat to be khafifa, we consider the salat to be sabuk. In Farsi, we say sabuk. In Urdu, we say be ahmiyat, kam ahmiyat. Sabuk samajhna. So if we consider the prayers to be unimportant, not just leaving, leaving is very clear if somebody leaves the prayers, even if it is unimportant in my life, how can you visualize unimportance? Like, for instance, the time of prayer arrives, but I don't stand up for prayers. I have other things to do which are more important in my life. And I would prefer to pray in the final moment. And it's about to become qada. Sometimes, you know, some people end up praying at times that they are just capable of praying one rak'ah in the time, and the second rak'ah is out of time, not within time. Isn't that right? It happens. Sometimes we end up praying with a tayammum because we don't have time to do the wudu. If we do a wudu, the time will be gone, it will become qada. So all these are signs and alamat of giving less importance. It may happen to us sometimes, I mean, we are not maqsood, I mean, we have faults in our lives, but the point to remember is that we can do a mistake. But if we do such a mistake, we should be baligh and spiritually, intellectually mature enough to realize, let's try not to do it again. Let's improve on that. This is what he is supposed to do. You know, that's what our scholars say, that buluh and maturity is not the buluh and maturity of your body. Buluh and maturity is actually of your soul. If your soul is valid enough, then you would not be able to make this kind of behavior towards the prayers. Some people may be 100 years old, but their soul is not baligh. Soul is not spiritually mature, intellectually mature enough to take the right decisions and make the correctness in their behaviors. So when Abu Basir, one of our great companions of Ahlul Bayt, Imam Sadiq, he says that دخلت على أم حميدة لأعزيها في أبي عبد الله عليه السلام. I went to see, pay my condolences to the wife of Imam Salih عليه السلام, أم حميدة, after the shahadat of Imam Salih عليه السلام. So I went to pay my condolences and ta'ziyat to his wife, and she said to me that I wish you were there. Hazrat Umm Hamida said to Aziz, I wish you were there in the final moments of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam before dying. He said that inna shafa'atana, that we write down this beautiful hadith. We go on, the hadiths are equally beautiful. This is what his wife Umm Hamida alayhi salam related to Abu Basir at that time. Umm Hamida said in his final moments of life, "Inna shafa'atana la tanalu mustaqifan." That our shafa'at, intercession and the favor they are going to do to get our sins forgiven on the Day of Judgment, this is not going to reach the person who considers salah to be khafifa, sabuk, unimportant. Just like I explained several examples to you a moment ago, right? How can we consider a person being giving less importance to his prayers? I gave you several examples. So even not just taraka, here in this hadith, the Holy Prophet has said man taraka salah, somebody who quits the prayers. Quitting the prayers is basically a very far away extreme. Even before reaching that extreme, if somebody considers this to be khafif and sabuk and unimportant in his life, that he should realize that the shafa'at of Ahlul Bayt is not going to reach him. Let's go to the hadith number 3, and we are talking about the first point of our discussion. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, this is from Imam Ali alayhi salam, where he said, لَوْ يَعْلَمُ الْمُصَلِّي مَا يَخْشَاهُ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ لَمَا رَفَعَ رَأْسَهُ مِنَ السُّجُودِ. That's from Tasnif Burr al-Hikam. So if a person knew what kind of mercy is engulfing him at the time of prayers, what happens is that we have abundant hadith. The time is not will not be enough for us to, of course, mention those ahadith, but they are abundant. The Bab al-Salat is full of ahadith. You have hadith about everything of prayers. The ahadith inform us that when in the night of the hadith we understand when a person stands for prayers, he is engulfed by the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some of the ahadith actually inform us that from the point where he's standing, from his feet up till the middle of the heavens, there are angels. All the way, there are angels. And some of the ahadith inform us that a person is praying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends angels equal to the number of his opponents. How many enemies and opponents you have in your life? The number of your opponents, just imagine their number. Allah sends as many number of angels which are equal to the number of your opponents. And they shall be praying behind you. Now let me inform you this hadith exactly, so that that is from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, where he has said that مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ مِنْ شِعَتِنَا يَقُومُ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ إِلَّا اِكْتَنَفَتْهُ بِعَدَدِ مَنْ خَالَفَهُ مَلَائِكَةٌ. There isn't a follower of ours who prays except that the number of people who oppose him basically he has that many angels who are engulfing him. يُصَلُّونَ خَلْفَهُ, they pray behind him. وَيَدْعُونَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ حَتَّى يَفْرَغَ مِنْ صَلَاتِهِ, and they keep on praying to for that person till he is done with his prayers. That is from Manba يَحْضُرُهُ الْفَقِيمِ, one of our four mother books of hadith. So when a person is surrounded with the rahmat of Allah, how Amir al-Mu'min al-Islam is informing us, what's the end result? It's not an emotional thing. There's no emotions in Islam. Everything is based on concrete evidences and everything has wisdom and reasons. So when a person who is praying surrounded is surrounded by the rahmat of Allah, we understand, obviously, that all of his sins are forgiven. When everywhere around you is nothing but the rahmat, which is nur, there is no zulmat and darkness that could be imagined. So why we find that some people pray but their sins are not forgiven? Because of the fact that they are not surrounded by the rahmat of Allah. Is Allah a miser, a bakhil, that he is not ready to send his rahmat for me when I am praying, but he is sending his rahmat and mercy for others who are praying? No. Allah is not a miser. Bukhl is sifatun qabiha. It's a condemned attribute. And he says, Subhanallah, we glorify Allah from all the condemned attributes. So when we find that I am praying, but I still do not have the rahmat of Allah engulfing me, and I believe that Allah is not a miser in providing his ni'mat and blessings to his creatures, I must realize that my own prayers is not eligible to be categorized as quote-unquote prayers in the eyes of Allah. If our prayers were prayers, this is going to happen certainly. Remember in another hadith, the Holy Prophet had said that لَوْ كَانَ عَلَى بَابِ أَحَدِكُمْ نَهْرًا, if there was a stream, there was a fountain, there was a there was a spring, there was a creek flowing on the door of one of you, لَوْ كَانَ عَلَى بَابِ أَحَدِكُمْ نَهْرًا, and a person takes a bath in that creek, in that stream, 5 times a day, فَهَلْ يَبْقَ عَلَى بَدَنِهِ, will there be any dirt remaining on his body? Somebody who takes a bath in a running, clean, pure, clean water 5 times a day, of course there will be no dirt remaining on his body. So the same way Prophet was trying to explain to us, if we pray 5 times a day, in the same way our sins are forgiven. But we should of course remember that it has to be a salah, you know, quote unquote prayers, how Allah wants us to pray. You cannot do anything, you know, what I wish, what I like, and that's my personal take on Islam. Well, who are you? And what's your personal take? We are here to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the statement of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Isn't that right? We are not here to worship Allah according to anybody's take, and my opinion is this. Who cares about your opinion? You keep your opinions at your home, please, before coming to an Islamic center. It's an Islamic center, it's not your opinion center. We come here to worship Allah according to the teachings of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and his Sharia, the Sharia of the Holy Prophet, the Sharia of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So, you know, there's no room for anybody giving his personal take and opinion. These things are from Alam al-Wahy, the world from the domain of revelation, with the human intellect has zero access to the Alam al-Wahy, the world of revelation. If we human beings have, with our intellects in place, have access to the domain of wahi and revelation, it would be silly for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send the prophets. Why would Allah bother to send the prophet for our guidance when we all have internet? And we can understand all we need to understand about Islam. There was no room for Allah to do a silly thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not silly, He is all wise. He's Hakim and Aleem. He never performed any silly act. So we have no access to the divine teachings of Wahi. That's why we stand in need of the Prophet. Even if I take 100 degrees from Harvard or Sorbonne or Oxford or Cambridge, it really doesn't matter when it comes to the teachings of Ghaib, because no one on earth can tell me what benefits my soul. So no one on earth knows anything about the soul which belongs to the Alamu, Alam Tajarrud. And these are the food for the soul. Hadith number 4 also from Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam, where he has said, مَنْ لَمْ تَنْهَرُ صَلَاتُهُ عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ لَمْ يَزْدَدْ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بُعْدًا. That's from Bihar al-Marwaz 182. Whosoever salat doesn't stop him from indecency and wrong, the harams. Of course, he gained nothing out of his prayers. He got further away. He prayed for the Qurbatan Allah. But despite the fact that, well, he is praying, but he got no qurb and no taqarrub and no closeness towards Allah at the end of the prayer. Actually, he got further away from Allah. Then there's the Minallah in the Bukhda, further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, what does it mean? Somebody came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and said, I want to know whether my prayer is accepted or not. Whether it is maqboola, whether Allah accepted it or not. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam recited the words of Holy Quran on his face. Allah has said in the Holy Quran, that in the salata tanha al-fahsha'i wal-munkar, prayers stop you from the fahsha and the munkar, from the indecencies and the harams. So, فَبِقَدْرِ مَا مَنَعَتْكَ قُبِلَتْ مِنْكَ. Imam Sadiq alayhi replied to him that as much as your prayers stopped you from the indecencies and harams in your life, as much as your prayers stopped you from those, that much is accepted. There are some people who have half of their prayers accepted, and some people have one third of their prayers accepted, and some people have no segment of their prayers accepted. So if we can get even one full prayers of ours accepted by Allah, then we are successful. It cannot just combine like those evil, stupid Taliban people, killing the innocent civilians. And Mullah Omar, la'antullahi alayh, giving the fatwa of killing every Shia above the age of 7 and enslaving their women. Look at the evil. So, and still they are praying, and they think they are very nice people. Can you imagine? I mean, how can you combine your prayers by performing a verb? Did you see the photographs of those of the followers of Ahlul Bayt who have been slaughtered recently in Paris, and how their legs and their feet and their nose and their faces have been butchered? The Holy Prophet has said in his hadith that إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْمُصْلَحْ وَلَوْ بِالْكَلْبِ الْعَقُورِ, that keep away from doing the muslah. إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْمُصْلَحْ, this is in Arabic we call it muslah, conceive. Muslah means after killing somebody. It was the tradition of Jahiliyyat before Islam in Makkah. They used to cut their noses and lips and hands and feet. So this is called muslah and conceive in Arabic. Prophet said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْمُصْلَحْ وَلَوْ بِالْكَلْبِ الْعَقُورِ, although it is towards a dog. So even towards a dog, even to a dead dog, you cannot cut his lips or teeth or hands or feet, We want to talk of a human being. We don't do it even to a kafir. We don't do it to anybody. But that's the way there are some evil people there who... So how can you combine what the Quran says that, in the salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar, prayers come to you from the fahsha'i munkar. Hadith number 5 is also from Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam. كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ لَا يُؤَثِّرُ عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ إِشَاءً وَلَا غَيْرَهُ وَكَانَ إِذَا دَخَلَ وَقْتَهَا كَأَنَّهُ لَا يَعْرِفُ أَهْلًا وَلَا حَمِيمًا. Such a beautiful hadith, although all the ahadiths are equally beautiful. Prophet said, Amir al-Mu'minin said about the Holy Prophet that Holy Prophet didn't used to give any preference to food or other things, and when the time of Salat used to arrive, as if he was, he's a different person. In other words, he doesn't recognize any of his family member or a friend. What does it mean you don't recognize anybody? Then you are not focused on anything and everything right now except the prayers. This is the time of Fadilat of the prayers.
That's the preference and priority number one. Let us do the prayers first. Everything else comes later.
Can you imagine the importance of the prayers in his eyes? This is the level of importance the Prophet used to give, that no family member, no friend, no food, nothing. When the time of Fadilat comes, remember what Ayatullah Nuhmah Sayyid Ali Tabatabai, who was the teacher of Allama Tabatabai, one of our great Urafa from Najaf, he used to say that if somebody performed his wajib prayers on time, and he does not reach the maqamat, the spiritual levels, he should send la'nat and curse of Allah on me. Such a great mujtahid of ours is saying that anybody who says his prayers, wajib prayers on time always, but he still could not reach the spiritual purification levels, maqamat and nafs, he should send la'nat. It is impossible for a person not to reach the high levels if you always pray on time. And then Amir al-Mu'minin said, لَا يَزَالُ الشَّيْطَانُ يَرْعَبُ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مَا حَافَظَ عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ الْخَمْسِ فَإِذَا ضَيَّأَهُنَّ تَجَرَّعَ عَلَيْهِ وَأَوْقَعَهُ فِي الْعَذَائِمِ. Satan continues to be afraid from us, from the human kind, as long as we protect the five time prayers. And if we lose, if a human loses his salah, then he breaks him and makes him fall in big sins. And the seventh hadith is from Al-Sadiq al-Islam, which here he says that أَوَّلُ شَيْءٍ. So long hadith I just mentioned, except to focus on this point. فَأَوَّلُ شَيْءٍ يَسْأَلُهُ عَنْهُ الصَّلَاةِ. On the Day of Judgment, the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask the person about is the salah. So this is the question number one. The examination paper is already made out to you. It's in our hands. We know what will be asked in the grave. We have that talqeen that we read. We know what will be asked in the Day of Judgment. The first question number one is this. And then later on this whole long hadith, which I did not mention intentionally, the whole of it. So at the end of Imam Salih al-Salam, after this, he says that if he answers this correctly, then, if he doesn't answer, then basically, if this question is answered properly, everything is fine. Everything else is fine.